The sermon will reflect on both the readings from Luke 12 and Philippians 4. I begin by rereading from Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If you would like to follow along, the sermon notes are on the very back of the bulletin. The regularly assigned gospel reading for Thanksgiving is the reading in which Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and only one came back to give him thanks. And we just had that as a gospel reading on which I preached about a month ago. So that reading I changed, and I added this one, in which Jesus talks a lot and teaches a lot about possessions that he gives us, and our attitudes towards those possessions, and our attitudes of our Heavenly Father towards us to take care of us. We see a very close connection between faith in God and thankfulness. Where there is faith in God, there flows thankfulness. And it's interesting because one thing you note in Jesus' teaching from this Luke 12 reading is that he says, be careful of that, and don't do this, and be careful of this. He teaches us what our faith will look like, how our reaction to God will be. One thing he talks about right at the beginning of that reading is don't have covetousness. Don't covet what others have. Desire, be jealous, we might say. One thing is when that attitude comes to our mind and we're jealous of what somebody else has, we're not thankful for what we have, but we're saying, God, you're not giving me enough, like that person over there. And Jesus reminds us in that part that possessions are not our life. Our life is with God. It's not our possessions. He tells that wonderful parable about, if you remember the arch book, The Rich Fool. He was rich, but he was foolish. And so sometimes also we humans can say, well, I have plenty now. I think I'm going to be fine for many, many, many years. And if we think like that, we can get into the thinking that I don't really need God's help. I'm okay. But as the parable goes, Jesus taught that very night, God demanded his soul. We might be okay, we think, in a worldly way for years and years and years, but God might call us tonight. Are we ready for him tonight? Being rich towards him and not just in possessions. Another theme that Jesus picked up in those teachings was anxiousness. And this is a worriedness that this overcomes your mind and your heart and it takes all your attention, this anxiousness. If we become so anxious that we focus on this problem or that situation so much, we might be indicating to God, well, I'm not going to bring it to you. I don't think you can help me or you don't care about me. Or you don't listen to me. We just focus on the anxiousness in our own emotion and worry rather than focusing on what God has done, does, and will do for us. That whole section of his teachings, Jesus' concluding thoughts is, he said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants his followers, his disciples, to not be afraid. So don't be anxious. Don't let this consume you, your worry consume you. Don't be jealous. Just fear not. He wants to give you his kingdom. It is your Heavenly Father, and he cares for you. Fear not. From the Philippians reading, we see that the people in Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, were very generous. And we heard how Paul gave thanks to them for all that they were doing for him. These people were living out their faith in many ways. And he tells them, rejoice in the Lord always. Now think about this connection between being faith and being thankful and rejoicing. You know, sometimes we teach our children or we remind ourselves or each other, we should go to Thanksgiving service or we should give thanks to God for this. And internally, or the child may say, all right. Not much rejoicing in that, is there? Now, there's a goodness in that you're training yourself or your child or whatever the situation might be to be thankful. That training, that reminding is good. But sometimes the rejoicing isn't there. All right. Then also sometimes, you know, that we can get an overwhelming gift or a surprise or something that catches us and, wow, thank you. And there's a rejoicing in the thankfulness. As God gives us his Son and all things in his kingdom, he wants us to have that rejoicing quality. He wants us to see how much he gives us and how much he loves us, so that it's not like, all right, that's the sin coming out. But really, God, thank you. A genuine thank you from the heart. I know I deserve this, did not deserve this. I know this is so much. Thank you. Sometimes we're goaded along. It's like, all right. But God is saying, see how much it is. See how much it is. See how much I love you. Don't be worried. And he wants the rejoicing to come up in us. Paul also says there in that reading, reasonableness, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And the way I use that word reason or reasonableness, it doesn't quite make sense. I was looking at different translations. The King James Version says, let your moderation be known to everyone. The New International Version says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The New American Standard Bible says, let your gentle spirit be known to everyone. In that word, in that sense, the Greek there is, it's a moderation, but it's a reasonableness, it's a gentleness, it's a moderation. And why would our attitude of moderation or gentleness, why is that important? Well, God, our Heavenly Father, has been gentle with us, hasn't he? And so also, he has given a spirit of gentleness, of moderation, of reasonableness, that we look through things and we're happy and we're rejoicing, but we understand these things and we don't want to force anybody. And Paul says, let that be known. Let that be known among you. As God has been gentle with us, so we are also gentle with one another. Another thing that Paul says in those couple of verses is the Lord is near. He says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. Now, just in those words alone, just think of that. God knows everything that's going on. He knows everything we know and more. I see this side of the problem and that depth of the problem, but he knows the other side of it. He knows the years that led up to that problem. He knows what will result from it. He's near. He's close at hand. So he says, don't be anxious. God's at hand. He's right beside you. He knows everything that's going on. And in that little section, Paul concludes, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. How wonderful that is, that we are invited to bring all things to God. All concerns, all situations, he knows them, but we're also invited to bring all these concerns to him. And this is in a response to what Jesus said. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we are his little flock. We bring our concerns and questions and thanksgivings to him. for he has provided all that we have, and he promises we are going to be in his kingdom forever. So he's going to keep us well until he calls us home. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for calling us to be your sons and daughters. We ask you to always build up our faith in you, to trust that you are watching over us, that you know all our concerns, and to give us faith with rejoicing, bring thanksgiving to you, to make our requests and supplications to you, our worries, let them come to you, and reveal to us how great you answer them, how near you are, so that we can say, thank you, Lord, for taking care of me, for hearing me, for saving me. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, Sing to the Lord of Harvest, 893.